Okay, now let's start the parsha. In the time of Noach, people were worse than bad. The Torah does not say they were bad. They were worse than bad. The word the Torah uses is a word that's not just bad. It's terrible. It is awful. Now, at first, it started in Parshas Bereishis that men did not care about ladies. If they wanted to marry a lady, they did not care if she said yes or no. They took her away, even if she was screaming, and they say, "You're going to marry me?" And she says, "No, no." The Yetzirah was very, very bad between men and women. Then, in Parshas Noach, it got worse. Between men and men. Men did not care about anyone. At first, they cared about a man. They said, okay, I'll respect the man, but I don't care about a lady. And then in Parshas Noach, they didn't care about anybody, only themselves. Now, you know what a person, Chas V'Shalom, does if he only cares about himself? He steals everything he wants for himself. Now, if you respect somebody, you say, look, my next door neighbor, he has his things. They belong to him. And I have my things. It belongs to me. He worked very hard to get his things. Well, I have to work hard to get my things. That's if you respect somebody. But in the time of Noach, they would climb in the window at night, go to the friend's pans and take out the money and steal and get it for himself. Ah, I only want everything for myself. He has something in his house. I want it for myself. I'll steal it. Because he doesn't care about anybody. It first started between men and ladies. Now, there's a very interesting story that the Yetzirah was so terrible. And in the Himmel, the Malachim said to Hashem, you see, you shouldn't have created that man. Now, do you remember when the Yibishah created the man? I don't know if I told you this or not, but, you know, the Malachim got jealous. Look, Hashem is paying more attention to the man than us. He's saying, the whole world, the main thing is for people. Now the Malachim wanted to feel that the whole world is really for them. They're Malachim. Malachim are Halik. They're big, they're gigantic, they're Ruchnius, they're Halik, they live in the Himmel. Malach Mechoyel is three times bigger than the whole world. And Hashem says, no, 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 no. Malachim, you're not the main thing. The man, Adam. People is the main thing. They said, what? A little man made out of dirt, out of mud? And, well, okay, he gets a neshama, but he's made out of dirt. He's made out of the ground. That's the main thing. No fair. And they were upset. But Hashem was paying more attention because as from Adam will come out Yidden and Torah mitzvahs and the whole thing. He makes a big deal out of people. The main thing is people, not Malachim. And then when the people started becoming very bad, the Malachim said to Hashem, you see, we're better than those people. We're Malachim. Forget about those people. The Malachim, see, we're special. We're good. We're Halik. We're good. The people are not good. And Hashem said, wait a minute. You know, you don't have a Yetzirah at all. They have a Yetzirah. So you cannot talk. Oh, come on. If we had a Yetzirah, we'd be much better than them. Ah, Hashem said, You have to be careful when you say something like that. Now, a person has to be careful, just like a malach, when you say something like that, Hashem might test you. Like the malachim just said, ah, if we were like that with the Yetzirah, we would do much better. Well, let's just see. All of a sudden, the two malachim that were talking the loudest and complaining the most, that they are better than people, and if they had a Yetzirah, they would do even better than people, all of a sudden Hashem said, come here, let's test you. And all of a sudden they started to fall. Exactly how it works, I don't know, but they left the Shemaim. And they're going down, 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 down into the world. Bing, boom. They land in the world. They get up, they look at themselves. Hey, look, what's this? What's that thing there? Oh, that's a foot. A foot? What's a foot? People have feet because they stand on the ground. Well, I have a foot now. What am I doing with a foot? Huh, Hashem must have given us bodies. I also have a foot. I have 2 feet. What's this? That's a hand. What's a hand? Hey, look, it wiggles. A hand with... What are those things on the hand? I got 5 things. What are those? Fingers. What's fingers? You know, they touch things. They hold things. Oh, in the Shemaim, we don't have that. Hey, look. You have some funny ball on your head, and it's got things on there. What's that called? That's a head. Oh, I have a head, too. I have a funny ball also. Hey, what's this hole over here? That's a mouth. A mouth? Look at that, a mouth, a funny hole. It goes up and down, and it's got these things on it, these white things. What's that? It's called teeth. Ah, teeth! It touches his teeth. Hey, what are these funny things on the side of your funny ball? That's called ears. You hear with that? Huh. In the Himmel, we never had this stuff. Hey, this is not bad. Ears, a mouth. What's this thing sticking out in front of me? That's a nose. You breathe with that. Breathe what? Air. What's air? All this stuff, you know, it's air. Oh, okay. Not so bad. See, we're people now. We're not Malachim anymore. Okay, we're going to do much better. We'll show Hashem Malachim are much better than those people. All of a sudden, 2 beautiful ladies walked by the 2 Malachim that now look like men. 2 beautiful ladies. And all of a sudden, the Yetzer Hara, that they never felt before, got very strong, and they wanted to go to marry these 2 ladies. And they never felt this feeling of the Yetzer Hara. Ah, what are those 2 things there? What is this feeling I have? That's 2 ladies. Yeah. Well, let's go marry them. Well, you have to ask first. I don't want to ask. I don't care. I'm just going to go marry that lady. You marry the other lady. And they say, okay, ladies, let's get married. We're 2 men that just got up from the world, and you're 2 beautiful ladies. Let's get married. No, 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 we don't want to marry you. Oh, forget it. We're going to marry you. And they start running after the ladies. And in 1 minute, they already listened to the Yetzer Hara. Do they control the Yetzer Hara? Or are they gave in to the Yetzer Hara in 1 minute. And these 2 Malachim, got married to these 2 ladies, the Medrash says. And do you know who got born from these 2 ladies? Giants. There used to be in the world giants. You ever heard of Oig? He was a giant. And there was other giants, as we know from different parshas. There lived near Hebron 4 giants. Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, and their father, giants. I think you saw the picture over there before we put it away, the gigantic giants that the Sarah went to in the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah, those big giants. All right, where did they come from? They started from these Malachim who fell down from the Shemayim. The Torah calls them Nephilim. They fell down from the Shemayim. They came to the world. They were being tested by Hashem, and they did not even last for 1 minute before they fell into the Yetzer Hara, and they were even worse than the people. So, what the Malachim said, they're better than people or not? Well, as we see, when they had a Yetzer Hara, they could not control themselves even for 1 minute. But in the time of Noach, it got even worse, and people were very bad. And Hashem decided, He will give the world only 1 more chance to do tshuva. And He decided the chance will be for 120 years. That's a long time, but Hashem is very patient. 120 years to do tshuva. Do you think that's enough time? Yeah. If I ask you to clean up your room and it's a big mess, or mommy asks you, do you think 120 years will be enough time to do that? Do you think she'd get busy doing that? And what if she gave you 120 years and she came into your room and it was still a big mess? Would you have an excuse that you didn't clean it up? I gave you 120 years! Should have cleaned up your room already? Well, how will the Eibishter warn the world to do tshuva? Well, this is what he did. He looked into the world, and there was only one good family in the entire world. Now, can you imagine? Everybody in the world is bad except for one family. Every other house, every other street, every other neighborhood, every other block, every other city, everywhere, only bad people doing aveiras, stealing and getchkes and all kinds of stuff. And there's one family that does not have a getchke in their house. One family that does not daven to getchkes. Only Noach and his family. And Hashem speaks to Noach and he says, Noach, there is going to come a mabul, a flood to destroy the world. But I'm going to save you and your family. But I want to give a chance to all those Rishoyim to do tshuva. So therefore, I want you to build for me a gigantic special boat in your backyard called a teva. Now, of course, Noach could have said to Hashem, wait a minute, you know, Eibishter, you could do it, you know, I mean, can Hashem do everything? Can Hashem make the world? Did he make the world? Can Hashem build a big boat? Why can't Hashem build a gigantic boat and bring it down to Noach right before the mabul comes? And it's all ready, and Hashem built it, and it's going to be very good. Why does Noach have to build it? And in fact, some opinions say even his sons did not help him. He had to do it by himself. He comes home from work every day. He's tired, he eats supper, and he has to go back and he has to go out to the backyard and start schlepping wood and building a boat, a gigantic boat. That is a big job. So why should Hashem make him do it? Because building the teva was not just to build a teva, it was to warn the people. Now, in the backyard, a man is building a gigantic thing. It looks like a building almost. People come, well, what are you building in your backyard? Are you building a special house or something? A building? It's gigantic. Oh, no, this is a big boat. A boat? People build boats by the ocean, not in their backyard. How can you get this gigantic boat to the ocean? It's far away. If you want to build a boat, you go to the ocean. Next to the ocean, you build a big boat, and then you push it into the ocean with a lot of strong people, and it goes into the ocean. But here, the ocean is far away. This boat is going to be so big in your backyard, it's impossible to get the boat to the ocean. Noach says, well, I have news for you. Not that we have to bring the boat to the ocean. The ocean is going to come to the boat. What are you saying? Jokes or something? The ocean is going to come to the boat? What are you talking about? You can't bring the ocean to the boat. I'm not exactly going to bring the ocean to the boat. What do you mean? So then why do you say the ocean is going to come to the boat? Well, Hashem is going to make a big flood, and the ocean will be everywhere. It will be like a gigantic ocean destroying the world. What are you talking about? Who says such a thing? Well, Hashem said, because of the avedas of the people, Hashem is very, very angry and upset, and he will destroy the world unless the people do tshuva. Uh-huh. So what are you doing with that thing in the backyard? Well, I'm going to go in with my family. And in fact, I think if you want to do tshuva, you can also come in. And we're going to go into that boat, and if the mabul does come, well, hopefully everybody will do tshuva, and the mabul will not come. But in case it does come, the only way out of it to escape is inside of that boat. Closing the door, the mabul comes, and whoever's outside gets destroyed, whoever inside gets saved. Now, the people were supposed to listen to that and do tshuva. And people came. They're watching Noach build that in his backyard. Look at that man. He's building a gigantic boat in his backyard. Why is he doing that? He says, a mabul is coming. Yeah, a mabul is coming. Now, from the school, the kids, you know, after school, on the way home, they go to watch. Or if they take a trip, they go to watch this man building the teva. People travel, vacation. Okay, the family is going on a vacation. Where should we go? Let's go watch that man build the boat. So they stay in some hotel somewhere, and every day they go watch this man build the boat. And Noach gets up to make a speech. Why am I building this in my backyard? It's coming a mabul. You have to do tshuva. What should the people do? Hopefully they'll tshuva. Instead, they were laughing. Hey, that's so funny. He's wasting his time building some big gigantic boat in his backyard. Nothing's going to happen. The weather is beautiful every day now. The weather used to be beautiful every single day. Perfect weather. Not going to be a mabul from rain. What's going to happen? A rainstorm? Once in a while it rains, you know. A mabul, come on, it's ridiculous. Maybe you had a funny dream or something, and the man is not exactly normal. He's building this thing in his backyard. And they laughed. And some of his neighbors said, and if in case it does come, all we have to do is when you're going into that, well, we'll get you, and we'll take you out of there with your family, and make sure you don't get inside, and we'll go in there. So it comes out, you're doing all the work, you're building it, but in the end, we'll go inside. And you'll be outside, and we'll say bye-bye, and close the door, and we'll go inside, in case something does happen. And 120 years passed. And still the Abishtra gave an extra 7 days chance. Because the oldest man in the world, Noyach's Alter Zaidi, Misu Shalach, the oldest man in the world, passed away. You know how old he was? 969 years old. He was just too old to go into the Teva. He passed away, and while Noyach was sitting Shiva, the Abishtha gave a last chance, and the rain started. Very softly, but it didn't let up. And Hashem said, if the people do tshuva now, it will be Gishmei Bracha. It will be rain for a bracha. It will be a good rain. I'll stop the mabul. I'll just make some rain to grow some nice plants outside and flowers. But the people did not do tshuva. Now, of course, the teva was not only for the people. There were three floors, as we know. The top floor was Noach and his family, 8 people. The second floor was for all the animals. There were 14 kosher animals and 2 not kosher animals from every animal in the world. Whatever animal we have in the world now came from the animals in the teva. And when they were in the teva, they had a big open place. They were not in cages. Noach respected animal rights. Hashem respected animal rights. Now, what happened was they had rooms that were all open to one area. So they didn't have closed doors. They had like a little place all around one big room, one big area, and they went to play and run around together in one area. So why didn't the wolves kill the Shepselach? As we know, lions can kill animals, wolves and tigers. There's all kinds of animals that will eat up every other animal. But they did not fight. They did not kill each other. They behaved nicely. You know why? Because the air in the teva was the air of Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen with the wolf and the Shepsela? Are they going to fight or be friends? They're going to be friends. So all the animals for that whole time were friendly. There was no fighting, and there was no biting. And there was no not nice behavior. Everybody had behaved like Mashiach came already, because it was the heir of Mashiach and the Teva. Rabbi Bernstein, how could they pack up so much food for a whole year? How much food do you... Let's say you're going to go shopping for yourself for a whole year. You're not going to be able to go shopping except for once for a whole year. Boy, you're going to buy a lot of food. You're going to fill up this room with food. You take 8 people. 8 rooms full of food. Now, let's buy food for the animals. How much does an animal eat? Now, if you went to the Bronx Zoo, and you saw over there by the lion or the tiger, I forget which one, they don't eat every day, but when they do eat, you know how much food they eat? 70 pounds of meat at one time. Now, can you imagine? You get a whole order for Yonta from the meat store, bags and bags of flesh to feed all the Orachim and your whole family for the whole Sukkos, and you get a whole bunch of bags. That's one meal for the lion or the tiger, I forget which one, or maybe the wolf, or maybe all 3. Now, let's pack up enough flesh for a whole year for these animals. Well, let's go to the elephants. How much does an elephant eat? How much does an elephant eat? A lot of food. How much do other animals eat? Now, let's pack up food for a whole year. Boys, he's going to have to build another 50 tavas just to hold the food. How could it be they have so much food? You're going to have much more food than the animals, than place. There was a ness. And the Torah says there's different ways it could be. Who sees this little plastic container that Rebbe brought some food in? Okay, what if today I go to get food and I take food out of it? Okay, I had lunch. Come supper time, I go to the same little container and I take out enough food for supper. Very nice. Comes breakfast time, I take out more food for breakfast. It comes lunch, it comes supper, it comes a whole week. For Shabbos, I take out chicken soup and fish, and I take out cholent, and I take out cake, and I keep taking out, and I never put anything back into there. I just keep taking out food. What would you say? That this little plastic container has some kind of a special bracha in it, doesn't it? To get so much food out of it, doesn't it? Well, it could be that Noach just took a bag or a box or a little bag for each of the animals, for each of the people, and each time he put his hand to take out food, more food came out, and more food came out. Now, if I took 8 of these for 8 people, would that be enough for a whole year? No. But if there was a special bracha in there, would that be enough for a whole year? Yes. There was a bracha in the food. But Rabbi Bernstein, how could you keep all that stuff fresh if there was no refrigerator or freezer? If you keep food for a few days without putting it in the refrigerator or freezer, it is going to get rotten and spoil. Okay, another ness was the food stayed fresh. You kept the sandwich out for, 5 weeks. You try to make a tuna sandwich, keep it outside on the counter for 5 weeks. What's it going to look like when you come back? Oh, I wouldn't even want to find out. It's going to be just terrible. Well, if Noach's wife, her name was Naama, if she made a tuna sandwich and she left it out. I'm preparing sandwiches for the flood when we go into the Teva. What kind of would you like? Peanut butter. Okay, some tuna sandwiches. And we're going to just keep it out. Not even a plastic bag. You think they had plastic bags? Forget about it. She just kept it out. Come back 6 months later. Oh, here's the sandwich. Fresh bread. The tuna is still fresh. Keep fish out for a few months. It's not going to keep fresh. And the teva kept fresh. There was a bracha. And finally, kindalach. It came the marble. The animals were inside. Now, outside, thousands of rishoyim came out of their houses. I guess maybe they were, I don't know if they came out in boats by that time. There was so much water. They realize it's going to be a marble. And they say, it's time to kill Noach and take away the teva for us. Because we see, yes, there's a marble coming. But we are going to get it for us. Now, how they'll decide who goes in? Vesechnish. But they're going to take it away from him and kill him, God forbid, and his family, and take away the teva for themselves. The animals that did not get inside, now of course I'm not telling you every detail because there's so much to say, but a lot of animals did not get into the teva, especially bears and especially biting animals. When they could not get into the teva, they did not leave and go back to the forest or the jungle. They stayed around. And nobody knew, how come those animals are staying around the teva like in a circle? And when it came time for the Rishoyim to try to break down the Teva, because, you know, the Eibishter promised Noach. You see, he was afraid. He was nervous. He says, Hashem, when it comes in the time of the flood, the Mabul, and the Rishoyim want to kill me, I'm afraid. Hashem says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I told you, this is what you must do. I'll take care of my part of it. And Noach thought to himself, how can I protect myself from thousands of Rishoyim? And he even said to Hashem, I'll go in the middle of the night, when nobody sees me. Hashem says, no, you go into the teva in the middle of the day when everybody sees you. because I'm Hashem, I can take care of these things. The Rishoyim came in the middle of the day, because the Mabul happened in the middle of the day. And all of those biting bears and wolves and tigers and lions just made a big circle around, and they started opening up their big mouths, their big teeth. And anybody that tried to get past the circle didn't exactly get past the circle. They had their last meal with those people, and they were, you know, they were taking care of anybody trying to get past. Nobody got past. Whoever got past, whoever tried to get past, became lunchtime. Became their lunch. Not exactly a sandwich, they just had them plain. With no mayonnaise and no pickles. Shh. And now the Mabul started. And the water covered the world, and everything got completely destroyed and killed. And Noach and his family were davening. They didn't know what's going to happen. They didn't know from the Chumash that later on they're going to get out of the Teva. I mean, they thought, who knows what could happen to us. It was scary. Now, what did Noach do the entire time he was taking care of the animals, day and night? Some animals eat by day, some animals eat by night, and he's taking care of all the animals. The entire flood lasted from beginning to end, not just 40 days and 40 nights, because people think it was 40 days and 40 nights. The beginning was 40 days and 40 nights. The entire thing lasted for a whole year. 365 days. Now, a lot of things happen in between. I'm just going to tell you the main things. At the end of the Mabul, and they came out of the Teva, outside was a brand new world. The old world had been destroyed. Now is a brand new world. Now, one of the things it says, why did Hashem bring a Mabul? He could have brought a fire. He could have made a big earthquake. He could have done a lot of things to destroy the world. He could have brought a bunch of chves, poisonous spiders. I mean, to destroy the world could be different ways. Why a Mabul? One of the things is this. If a person is tame, where does he go to get halak and clean again? Ruchniyastika, clean. He goes into the mikveh. How do you go into the mikveh? You go all the way under the water. Is that right? Okay. Now, not only the world was bad and evil and terrible, the world became tame. Because Baruchnius, they became so low. So the whole world was tame. Hashem said, I have to make the world halak again. He put the world into a mikveh. How did he put the world into the mikveh? He made a Mabul for 40 days and 40 nights. Because the smallest mikveh, how much water does it have to have? 40 measures of water. If it's 39, it's not kosher. 40 measures of water. This. How long was the beginning of the Mabul? 40 days and 40 nights? Because that's the measure of a mikveh. And the whole world was surrounded by water. What was in the water? The world. What was the world doing? It was toiveling in a what? A mikveh. The whole world got put in the mikveh. Hashem made a mikveh around the world. The whole world was toiveling in the mikveh. And instead of being tameh, it became what? Tahar. Halik. Who understands that the world was put into a mikveh? Anybody understand that? And they came out, and now the world was a brand new world. Whoever came out only was Noach and his family and the animals, and now it's time for them to make a new world. And at first, Noach and his family did not want to leave the Teva. They were too afraid. They say, if we go out and we start having more children, they might be bad, and there's going to be again a Mabul. It's too scary. We never want to go through it again. Let's stay in the Teva and not go out. Or let's go out and not have any more children. And we'll pass away, it'll be the end of the world. Hashem said, uh-uh. You just do what you're supposed to do. And now he gave them 7 rules to live by, that the world should be a better place. And they're called the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Who ever heard of the Sheva Mitzvois B'nei Noach? Seven commandments for the Goyim. Noach was not a Jew. And to this day, the Goyim have the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, the children of Noach, to live by. And Hashem says, you keep these seven rules, the world will be a better place. And there will not be another marble. And he promised Hashem, he promised Noach there will never be another marble again in the world. And what was the sign that he put in the sky? A rainbow. And of course, there's